elected, and we elected for this reason, that for 75% of his time he could look after these churches. For 25% of his time he could help our district by keeping us in touch and by coordinating different educational aspects that we were looking at. And that meant several things. It meant that we were giving back some of the self-respect and dignity to some now small churches which desperately needed that self-respect and dignity given back to them. It meant that for the first time we could offer some sort of cover, of ministerial cover, for all our churches in Gwent. And that was, well, it was getting better all the time, this idea. It was growing on us. It meant that we were building up the people of God for a vision of living in the kingdom of God. It means that small churches will contribute financially, willingly, some of them for the first time in a very long time, in order to have some ministerial cover. It means that we will be able to do better for churches, small churches, that should have something better done for them because they deserve better, and that in turn makes our district feel better. And so there is a whole healing process which has to be gone through should we have a district minister working with us. It's a picture story. It's far from perfect, as our master's stories were given to us. Little paintings, perfect in every aspect. This one has a touches of human beings all over it. But I do believe and feel that it has the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit, love and caring. We feel it has the brush marks of Christ in concern and healing, which has to be done throughout all the small churches in Wales. And we live in the hope that it has a kingdom meaning for the building up of the people of God.
Say the centre of Swansea is going to close this summer. But in thankfulness for Roy Hughes' ministry, his example, his ecumenical commitment, and through our own faith, we see the closure as an opportunity. The pastoral committee has spent many hours praying about and discussing the future of St Andrews, and in our thinking we fully endorse patterns of ministry, with emphasis on our missionary calling and the context. Ministry very much as a witness to the community, as well as the building up of the community of faith. And we also recognise the need for a variety of things if we, the church, are to witness in a variety of contexts. What is the context of St Andrews? St Andrews is a city area, a number of churches in the Covenant and the Cathedral very near, a large worshipping Muslim community, homelessness, bedfit, student population, a variety of social problems, the usual things, alcohol, drug abuse, plenty of shops, offices, schools, old people, mental health problems. So what is the future that we see? We don't know. We have some ideas, but to realise and work out those ideas requires more time than anyone who has a full-time pastorate can give to us. And therefore, we're looking for somebody who will work with us for 3 years and discover what God is calling us to do. The district meeting, with the endorsement of the church at St Andrews, up as soon as possible following the closure of the church. The resources of St Andrews will be available to the project, and we seek a URC minister to work with us for 3 years. He or she will be part of our quota. The project will aim to discover the needs, both material and spiritual, in Swansea, and what the district might do to meet those needs, perhaps in partnership with other churches. We're looking for a URC minister who will have the qualities to undertake imaginative and specialised projects, who will use theology creatively, listen to those who need hearing, assess and advise. And we will give he, whoever it is who comes, the support of the pastoral committee as their support team. The project is exciting and it's going to need somebody with special qualities. The word exciting also has within it an element of disturbance, and perhaps it's going to disturb some of us who aren't expecting to be disturbed. But we are stretching out our hands somewhat into the unknown, knowing that our hands are going to be grasped by the needs that do exist. And we pray that what we need to do is going to be made clear to us. If you're interested, don't see me.
It doesn't matter if you can't see the details of this, the details don't matter. This is a story as well, it's a story about rural areas. This is an imaginary rural area, but it bears a certain resemblance to certain parts of Mid Wales.
Or anywhere else you can.
It has a town down here, that's what you mean, that's a town. Around here there are villages and hamlets and other small settlements. The dots are churches, the numbers are members. And these are pretty realistic, 4, 18, 12, 7, 5, 13, 20. In the town, 110, 63, 42, much higher membership figures, and that's very realistic for Mid Wales. What's happened to the church in these areas is what's happened to every other institution, bar one, which I'll come to in a moment, in rural areas, which is this. There used to be a village school in most of these places. It's closed in most of the places. There used to be a village police station. It's closed. There used to be a village magistrate's court. It's closed. There used to be a parish council. They've been amalgamated into much larger areas, and so on. By and large, if you want any of those services and you live anywhere in the hinterland, you have to go into town. The church has followed the same route. It simply followed the secular model. It hasn't actually closed buildings, by and large. In Breckenshire, not a single ex-congregational church has closed. But what it has done is to withdraw ministry, ordain stipendiary ministry, from those areas. And so what you get now is what I call the clustering model. You get ministers here, and this is meant to be a picture of the three churches as a whole. So you might get a URC minister here with 63 members, and then he's also a minister of this sort of hinterland of churches here, and he's interim moderator over here as well. And then you might get a Baptist minister, 110 members, and he'll be minister of those churches there. And they will wave to each other regularly as they drive out. And if you live in the villages and you want a minister, you either have to phone to get the minister out to you, or you have to go into town. That's what you have to do. There are no resident ministers in any of these areas. Stipendiary ministers serving churches, maybe retirement, but no serving ministers. And of course, there are some churches here where there are, as Russell has said, no stipendiary ministry or non-stipendiary ministry or any recognised ministry beyond that provided locally by local people. A benefit. Now, that is the model which all three churches and the Anglican Church now, increasingly in the past 10 years, have followed. The ministers live, the ordained stipendiary ministers live in towns. They commute out to villages every so often to visit particular people or to conduct a service of worship, and then they commute back. Increasingly in Mid Wales, we're feeling that this model of ministry isn't effective. It isn't using ministerial resources in the best way because not all the time is spent traveling to and forth. It isn't either drawing on the resources of the people who actually do live and worship in these smaller communities. alternative model, and this is based on the one organisation which runs against all of this in rural areas, which is the YFC, the Young Farmers Clubs. They are growing, they are located in villages, not in towns, and they have growing numbers, of course, of young people. They're aimed at young people, all the things the churches, with honourable exceptions here and there, don't have in these areas, growth, youth, and dynamism. Now, admittedly, the young farmers do have an office and it's located in the town. I acknowledge that. There's a certain similarity. There is one full-time organiser in Breconshire, there's one in Montgomeryshire, there's one for Aberdeenshire, covering far larger areas than any minister has ever asked to cover as a pastor. Within the same resources, the three churches, for example, in Breconshire, could easily, without any extra expenditure of money or resources, provide three, not one organiser, but three, for the same area covered by one YFC organiser. But we have a YFC organiser at Otago on our pastoral committee, and it's from her really this vision comes. It's possible for that YFC organiser to motivate and to resource all the YFC clubs across Breconshire, to provide what they need in terms of expertise and links with the national organisation. But not, of course, to run everything. By any means, you can't be present at every YFC meeting. And we are just beginning to feel our way towards the possibility of a pattern of stipendiary ministry within our churches which looks like that, looks like a YFC organiser, is aimed at enthusing and resourcing and providing training and skills for those who live in the and worship in these hinterland areas, as well as for those who live in the town. Because we could provide within our existing resources not one but three, we actually have the possibility of not only having a minister living in the town, but having ministers actually living once again in the rural areas. It's the beginning of a story that the other one was a story that's been going on. It's the beginning of a story. Trying to build on a successful secular model rather than, we believe, the unsuccessful secular models of taking everything into town. And seeing if that can work for Mid Wales across the three churches. And we're entering our way there in several areas. Just beginning. Thank you.
Going towards the end, I know we're behind schedule, but life is tough sometimes. And to end off with just thoughts about the church and the community presented by some people from Massachusetts, which is in Swansea, which is in South Wales.
A little present for sitting so quietly and well behaved. As is being given out, just to explain them, there are lots of ideas pitched from RE today, from Christian Aid material, and from CCBI. Just for you to take home to use in your meditation, prayer, discussion group. Get you thinking about community in all its different aspects. You'll find on the back of the first page the Arrow Hanui Covenant. Methodist ministers will know that this is a covenant worked out in New Zealand by a local church who sat down and said, what can we make covenants to that we share together as a fellowship? On the next page, if you like models, a model of belonging to a community, and underneath a little questionnaire about children and community. On the back from BCCI, working as a community. Believing is very important, for that gives us our belonging. And so two pages of belonging creeds, followed by stories. I like stories, as Russell has shared. Community tales, and then some community nightmares. The community also brings its hell. The story of L'Arche in France, community, specific area of need, and on the back of that, the kibbutz, a very different understanding of community. Community church in Bromley in London, which is reaching out in, to discover its own community, and then a closed community at the back of a nun and her experience of community life. On the front, we're going to now share some thoughts about our church and our community in Mantleton. May I begin by saying, I come not to bury John Morgans, but to praise him. I hope And only those of you who love John will be able to agree with me. I hope that we are absolutely thrilled to bits with what has happened in February at the commissioning of their new church centre. At the same time, I think the Penrith project has such a high profile and is such a particular ministry that there is a danger of switching off. And I hope the province doesn't do that. Because if we have to learn anything from Penrith, it is that you have got the same problem in your backyard. And you can learn from their people and from their minister and from their church setup and adapt it for our setting, whether it's rural or urban. For the story we tell today is not a dramatic or particular or exciting one. What have we done in Manston? We have simply knocked down our church walls. We believe that the Lord was saying to us, I want a church without walls. And believe me, the easiest walls to knock down with a building. And there are still walls we're just discovering that we have, that we haven't even yet the courage to knock down. Here are some thoughts from a church meeting on Sunday night that we just share together that we want to share with you this morning.
We call our church the church of the community because the building has been pulled down. We have no other address. But we're still very much a presence in Manchester. God has provided for us two community buildings for Sunday worship, one for the morning and one for the evening, which have proved to be a great blessing to the church. We're learning to be a community in the church. We've drawn closer together. We love and care for each other more. And this is felt and noted by those who come each week or who are just visiting. I wouldn't say yet that we, as a church, are a praying community. Nevertheless, there are many groups within the church meeting regularly for prayer together. We still have to learn how to draw closer to the people of Manselton outside the church, and as the body of Christ, how to serve them so that we can become the church of the community.
Knocking down our building has meant worshipping with no fixed seating and no set seats. Our patterns of worship have altered with greater flexibility, closer fellowship, and much greater participation. We are now more open to what each other is feeling, and as we develop as a family, accepting each other's differences. Hopefully, we are also more ready to accept both change and tradition. A greater need for house groups, now called care groups, has been recognised, with 100 people now meeting in each other's homes.
When we had a building, we could spend so much time worrying about it and hide behind its walls and blame it for our failures. Now, so much more time has been released for us to be the church. But at the same time, we have nowhere to hide and nothing to blame. It has meant, particularly for the old and the young, a threat to what we belong to, as the edges between church and community have blurred. We are now much more vulnerable. Somebody said, like a tortoise without a shell. And we need a greater trust in God. It has also meant a greater love for one another, as we can share our pain and come face to face with who we are.
I'm glad that Pat used the word exciting, because all the stories you've heard this morning are exciting. But it does mean, Pat, doesn't it? Also danger. It also means fear. It also means pain. I don't know anymore what church is. I don't know anymore, and I'm supposed to come this morning and help you discover what community is. They've blurred so much, and in the blurring, we have discovered our own vulnerabilities. And having raised our banners for church in the community proudly, it seems as though all I come against is what community shouldn't be. I see narrow-mindedness, I see possessiveness, I see suspicion of other communities, I see jealousies. However, I am discovering that the church probably not a community, but more a communion. And that is perhaps an answer to what the Nef- For within the communion of our Lord Jesus Christ, in word and sacrament, and the living out of his love as his body, I'm finding community. Communion, actually as Holy Communion, has become so much more important to us, and so much more exciting to us, because we're not just celebrating the risen Christ, but we're also celebrating the crucified Christ. And we're simply meeting our pain and our joys together in communion with him. I once watched a film on the telly. It was a pretty crappy film, really. It was American. Not sorry, that's not. See? Yes. The thing about community and belonging to Britain, sorry. It was a simple story, and I would have forgotten it, about a woman struggling to bring up a family in the Depression. The story was that her husband in the Deep South was killed by some young hoodlums who were black. She was left to bring up her family. She had to go to the banks for money. The banks were all chapel goers, and they refused her money to keep the farm going. She took on a black lad, and because she did that, she was ostracized from the rest of the community. He eventually was driven off the farm by the respectable white people who went to church. The story, of course, was a happy ending, that she struggled on and she did it. But for some strange reason, and I don't know whether the director was a Christian, the last shot of the film, almost unnoticeable because the credits were going off, she went back into church, and it was a communion service. And all you saw was her receiving the bread and passing the plate. And the plate was to the young black lad on the farm. And you thought, he's come back. But then, no. He passed the plate then to the woman's husband who had been killed. And then the plate was passed from him to his murderer. And it was passed round until it was passed to the bank manager who wouldn't give her the money. And then back to her. And somehow, and I can't explain it, in that moment I understood what community is about. It's about the not yet, as well as the already achieved, about the journey of pain we've been on and the reconciliation we've already found. And that's where we are as Manchester. And that's all I can offer this morning. Thank you.
Thank you to everybody who's contributed to our thinking this morning. There's a lot for you to talk about over lunch and on the journey. Just a reminder that expenses and apologies should be given to Suzanne or Ali. If any district hasn't handed those elders or ministers who have died since the names of the elders of our or ministers who have died since our last enough, then please introduce those so we can remember them in our closing birthday. Downstairs there is a bookstall and there is a display on Christian Aid. Upstairs a display on Bon Appetit.
Oh dear, my batteries are going flat. Oh no, it's all right.
So what, are you trying it out for somebody, are you?
No.
Are you recording still?
I have been doing so.
You have? Do you want to say a word about the Wrexham nuns?
Yes.
Could you read?
Yes, I just glanced through it. Well, actually, there's no decision yet from the church meeting, so we've still got to...
It's a long way.
The thing is, basically, the church is supposed to supply a house. Now, if there's a major problem with finance, it seems to me you have two possible avenues to explore.
Yes.
One is getting a loan from the trust and repaying it at 5% interest or whatever interest they say. And there's no guarantee they'll lend it, you know? The other is to apply to some outside trust that has the interest of ministers for housing at heart. I was told over a year ago to compile an index of such people, but I haven't found any yet.
I see.
I've got a lot of information about trusts, charitable trusts, but the more I read through them, I can't see that any one of them would give, you know, would have that as one of its aims.
I see.
Now, I haven't finished, but I mean, it really isn't at the top of my mind. It's, you know, it hasn't, I haven't given it top priority.
Well, you've got a lot of other things to think about,
well,
I suppose.
All the other things seem much more urgent, and therefore, I haven't really pursued it to its limits.
Mm.
So, you know, if you find that there's a serious position in Wrexham and they absolutely need help, you know, phone me again or write to me again and tell me just to, you know, to set everything else aside and chase this up. But, I mean, the chasing I've done so far has yielded no fruit.
I see.
I've got the names of lots of trusts, charitable trusts. But, you know, if you read through the small print, I can't interpret any of them as being willing to give money from the Now, there may be some somewhere, but I haven't found them.
What are the points that might be? I say might be more. Because it's a new pastorate with four churches coming together, at the moment, the present amount we have would belong to one of the churches in the pastorate. If at some time that's decided to be unsuitable, therefore a new manse is needed, the share of cost of the new manse becomes a burden on the four churches, not on the one. And of course, it might be therefore, you look at the good expense. The smaller churches will be struggling to find any finance at all towards the cost of a loan for new members. Or for another member, in realistic terms, we've got to look at finance and how some finance can be found. And I think myself personally, this is me only in a personal situation now, and again look at the present economic climate we have. To get a house amongst that maybe people are talking about in the present Wrexham peripheral area, you'd be looking at spending about £100,000.
Can I get rid of these?
Please.
Would you get the sale of the one you've got?
Well, the one we've got, about 50. In fact, there's one next door to it going for sale at the moment. And the asking advertised price is 57,000. She'd be getting about 50,000 pounds, thereabouts. So there's a shortfall deficit of towards 50,000 pounds. And of course, that then, even if you took them the full rate of membership, it's a 60-40. The three smaller churches would then be looking at them to find 40% of £50,000.
Actually, John was suggesting that we might talk nicely to Johnstown about the money they've got invested in the sale of their ground. I don't know how far we'd get, but it's worth looking at.
The only thing is, though, Alan, you see, that I think the church itself, and I would say the church as the group now, would be looking at that as a more meaningful contribution to MOM, or whatever it's going to be called in the future. See, it's again another problem. The three smaller churches which are now joining the common one, in the past have paid little contribution to some of them, to either MOM or any private deal. They paid token payments. But when the realistic payment would be asked for, it would be a big cost. And then what Alan's saying, now the one church, in the last year, had its main church, its church pulled down. The land was sold, it's now being built upon. They're now sharing another church, and they've made a request that, if you like, a percentage of the interest now be allowed towards running costs of the church. Well, to me, running cost would be a contribution to MOM rather than a cost towards, all right, a house could be the same way.
Except it's a better long-term investment to put towards a house. You know, because I mean, if a church cannot find MOM contributions, it really can't afford a minister.
No.
You see?
I'm not saying it can't.
Yes, well, we're still going to have to talk about it with the elders, you see. We're still going to have to talk about it with the joint elders group.
Yes.
Which meets on Monday. So I might be in touch with you after that.
Right. I mean, at least now you can read that thing out.
Yes.
I mean, that was in the synod a few synods ago.
Mm. That's cool.
Don't mention it. I mean, I didn't. Alan wrote to me ages ago, and it just arrived. I think I was already in.
Did you have a good holiday, by the way?
Lovely holiday. I was there for a fortnight, and when I came back, you know, preparing for synod just takes all the time we have somehow. It's only at the end of last week. I thought I'd better have a look at this and do something about it.
Just as a matter of interest, where do you come from? Because on this dictionary thing, I'm supposed to put down what people's local accent is.
Ah, that's good. Can you not? No, mine is inexplicable because I've lived in so many places and I pick up accents. I was born in Lancashire, so that's the basis of it all. I had the roughest edges knocked off it when I went to university, but then I went to live in Northern Ireland, so I think I've got a little Northern Ireland.
Yes, well, it does happen when...
It's a hybrid.
It does happen when you move around. Yeah. And I think it happened to me to some extent.
Well, it does. If you're capable of picking up... Some people never change.
That's true.
You know, some people, it doesn't matter where you come from, they never change. But if you are at all... If you've got a musical ear or something, I think you pick up the flexors. You know, I haven't been consciously striving to change my voice. In fact, you know, I'm consciously striving now not to pick up a Welsh accent. I think if I've got a Welsh accent added to it all, it would be horrendous. But,
yes. It's at least distinctive.
It is. On the notice you sent out the other day for Monday's meeting.
Yes.
A couple of things. You put a paragraph first, which said maybe we will need to consider a recommendation.
Yes.
And then, of course, you went on to number one, the man's, two, a group secretary, three, a group treasurer. And I forgot what the other one was.
Yes.
Maybe in something, which is probably more paramount at the moment, is that the paragraph be number one.
Which one you mean?
Well, the number one be the question of the recommendation.
I see. Oh, yes. Well, I was thinking that.
Yeah. When you're reading it, it might have got lost in the paragraph, mightn't it? Because when the item's underneath...
I see what you mean.
This isn't being critical at all, but on this position situation, that might be the first thing that we...
Oh, yes. I was assuming that. I didn't really set it out as a formal agenda, just as a reminder.
Right. I don't know what the situation will be in the other churches, but I must say, between us at the moment, there wasn't a strong feeling in Salford Park.
Not a strong feeling in favour?
Oh. No, I'm only saying this, you know, to prepare. It's nothing to do with the manse, right? We don't want to think about the house is the issue, because the house got raised with Sally, didn't it?
Yes.
There are other issues which... we had an elders meeting on Thursday, and between Sunday and Thursday, various people have had comments and people on Saturday, on Sunday, and different matters. There was a fairly well at the elders meeting on Thursday, an overall feeling that they wouldn't be happy.
Oh, that's a pity.
Yeah, but I say but. I mean, I'm talking, it's between us at the moment, it's just, you know, if of course on Monday, at a vote, a recommendation was taken, we would accept whatever the Monday's meeting was.
Yes.
We wouldn't be able to stick it out in the wood and say, you know, well, Solly Park would go back to Solly Park meeting and say...
But on the other hand, you've got to give the information that you have about the feeling in the church.
Yes. In fact, it will probably be expressed in... It will be expressed in the meeting Monday.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not my business to influence you one way or the other. It's simply my business to sort of help the works.
True, yeah. But I think it's as well perhaps to know ready for the meeting Monday, because at the end of the day, you know, we've got to look at the matter going forward, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, really, it's in going forward to a week on Sunday and then whatever else happens. We're going through the process, aren't we? And rather than us all come on Monday and thinking that everything is... I mean, there are some people in the church who are feeling, well, if we don't go forward now, where do we go?
Well, I don't I don't think that should influence them too much. I mean, one wants to get a settlement quickly, but it's more important to get the right person than to do it quickly.
There are certain things about John that a number of people would protect. There was an amount of, if I use the word, aggression, which came over in his sermon on Sunday morning.
It's because I wasn't there for that, no.
There were examples he quoted that he dealt with in his past, where people felt there was an aggressiveness about him. And in trying to bring these four churches together, people feel that, you know, not the necessary right.
A lot of tact may be needed at times, yes.
And you could see an amount of nervousness, anxiety, tension, tone about him. And unfortunately,
we
had this problem in the past with God. And then again, that makes you wary and cautious.
Yes, well, I mean, you can't help being aware of past experiences.
And again, in
going trying to bring four together again, you've got to make sure you're the right role of leadership is needed, isn't it?
Yes.
You who can run.
And certain things are said obviously about his wife. People may not have been there. You know? There's an amount of more negative than positive. But that's basically in a nutshell.
Well, the church meetings ought to decide.
Oh, yeah. The church meeting will have to. It's the church meeting's final decision.
I mean, even if the elders recommend positively, if the church meeting goes against it, well, that's it.
But on the other hand, we've got to try as a group of elders to come together on this, to see what goes. Some of us may go to Johnstone tomorrow.
That would be a good idea, I think.
Perhaps in some way, yes. I feel like going to Johnstone because sometimes I'm more involved in Johnstone these days.
Than in Salisbury Park, yes.
Well, not that doesn't sound fair.
No, I know what you mean.
I got a greater kinship because they're a small group and I go there every month. So, you know, you're quite involved in what they're doing and they will readily come and share with you. You know, and we'll see what goes. I thought as well we could share a minute together before Monday's meeting.
Right,
because
well.
In this situation, we've all. And again, the whole implication is not only Wrexham, it affects the district as well.
Oh, yes.
But we want to be sure for North Wales that it's a right.
Right, well.
We will see it's 7:30 on Monday, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Then it's Friday again afterwards. Hope for the best.
It's at Kevin, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know whether Rhoda will with us, she's none too well.
I'm sorry.
She should have had Gethin's Day tonight. She's had laryngitis bad, which has affected her as well. So whether she's right, I don't know.
Right. Hello?
Hello, last meeting. John had asked me to do a little thing about the district. Well, I felt that because of the time pushing, what his name had said about the Rivertown venture was probably enough. I would have flown a kite on one or two things otherwise. But I felt because the time was pushing, pressing so much, and the other districts had to be.
Yes. And actually, I thought Chris gave a good report.
Yeah.
Well, it was practically the same as he did at district, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's very articulate, very good.
I didn't know he was going to say anything about it. Oh, well, maybe yours can be saved up for another time.
Step on the
fingers. Oh, I'm sorry.
Never decide you don't step on
the rock. Can I hang this up and so as not to take it into the church? Where can I? Here we are. Put it there.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
If I forget it, it's not desperate, but I'd like to take it. head down or what?
Moderator and friends, I have to say first of all that I'm glad to be able to bring you a meeting on behalf of the Member Churches of Katini. And as I said earlier, also particularly on behalf of the Union of Irish Independents, although I did realise, having said that, that you have a minister of the Union of Irish Independents as a member of this synod, and therefore you don't need greeting. And now, hopefully, during this year, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in Wales. And so that there will be a broad spectrum of people who with us confess a common faith, serve a common Lord, and proclaim a common gospel, serving within this land and people of Wales. And therefore, I'm glad to bring you greetings for that reason. I'm glad to bring you greetings because I think you serve a particularly an important purpose. When I was asked to comment, before John was ever elected, you elect moderators, whatever happened to a moderator, before he was chosen by whatever process, a number of us was asked to comment, and one of the things I felt it important to say was that the URC plays a very important role, both in being a bridge between all these nations, but also serving a particular reformed tradition within Wales. And that this larger responsibility and this more local responsibility combined in one small church is an important role. And I think that came through in this morning's conversation. And I'm glad also to bring you greeting, this is my last point, John, I'd be glad to know. Because out of that debate this morning, I sense you have much to offer the rest of us. And I hope that that conversation will not be a conversation confined to your synod or to the Assembly of the URC, but that we'll find ways of sharing that perception of ministry with others of us in other churches. Because you don't need me to tell you that that's a key question in the whole ecumenical debate, not just in these nations, but worldwide. And I think that from within this Reformed tradition in which I share, I would hope that we will find ways of offering that perception of ministry in all its forms, as a symbol and a sign of the ministry of the whole people of God. We have that to offer the churches in Wales and worldwide, and I hope that we can find ways of doing that. And for those reasons, and for the fact that I more or less enjoyed the journey and had to come anyway as a chauffeur, I'm glad.
Resolution 1. Do you receive this report for debate?
Not half.
If there are no questions on the paragraphs of the report not covered by resolution,
are there any questions or comments on paragraphs 1 or 3 or 4 on?
I then move Resolution 2, which is continuing process that we were introduced to the last synod and the previous synod, consideration of the ENVIS discussion document on Christian initiation. I move.
The resolutions before you to set up a working party
to consider and coordinate province response to endless reports on the machines and machines. All those in favour? Any against? I think it's important also that, having done that, that also implies an eagerness and activity in which you think about the whole process of Christian initiation. I mean, having done that, we haven't just set up a working party and let the rest of the world forget about it. That's one thing to concentrate on. Number three,
Resolution 3 concerns the agreed procedure and service for the election, ordination and induction of elders in United Reformed Presbyterian Church of Wales churches. I would have hoped to be able to bring before you a final draft of the service. It has not yet finally been passed by the Presbyterian Church of Wales. Therefore, discussions on what form and how it will be printed have not yet taken place. So you've got the latest draft with the latest amendments. Those of you who have taken one to look at it. If you haven't, I assume you trust the URC Doctrine and Worship Committee, the Trinity Ecumenical Work at Home Committee, and the Provincial Ecumenical Relations Group.
Are you happy to commend those procedures for the election, ordination, and induction of elders in